Good morning, church. How's everyone doing this morning on this beautiful Lord's Day? Glad you're here with us at Duffield, Virginia, Thomas Village Baptist Church. I'd like to welcome all those in the Facebook crowd and out there in the parking lot listening on our 88.1 FM transmitter. And we're going to get our service started off this morning with a song, number 411, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." Church, I bid you welcome to those inside, outside, on Facebook. It's good to see all of you here today. I greet you in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm glad to be back with church, not in church, with church, because this is the church, everyone sitting in here this morning. In the way of announcements, we're getting some signs of normalcy coming back because tonight we're going to have a WADA in-house. So, we'll be practicing the protocols of social distancing during the WADA, but it's going to be good to get back together again with everyone to teach these kids that they might learn and grow in the Word, which is what a WADA is all about. Also, next Sunday night, in-person services will start again here at 6 o'clock. So a little bit of normalcy coming back. I'm still looking forward to Sunday school. In the meantime, I have a Sunday school class going on Facebook if you'd like to be part of it. It's if you're on Facebook, just look for TVBC, Pyres and Spires. Click on it and request to join it, and we'd love to have you be part of that. I'm going over our Sunday school material that we've been having for some time. Getting some response and thankful for those responses. And we're just thankful that the Holy Spirit leads and we're still able to continue a Bible study. Still many on our prayer list, a lot to keep on keeping our prayers. Continue to remember the family of Henrietta Roach, that's Brother Keith's mom, who had her service yesterday, and had a wonderful time in the Lord with her family, and her brother actually was part of the service, Reverend Joe Hill, and he's very precious to our family, too. Remember those who have been affected by this pandemic, whether health-wise or economically. Still, it's tough out there for a lot of folks. So keep them in your prayers. And especially this morning, remember Brother Brian. And pray the Lord to use him in a mighty way this morning to speak to us. We need to hear from him. We need to hear from the Lord this morning. Bow with me as we pray. Father, thank you again for this day you've given us, and what a beautiful day it is. But Father, we should consider every day beautiful that you allow us to stay here on this earth, knowing that you still have a purpose for us here, that you want to use us, Father, to further your word and reaching others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help us to always remember that that is our mission, that you have graced us and honored us with that mission to tell others about your son and what he did on Calvary's cross all those thousands of years ago when he gave himself. And Father, when he said it is finished, he didn't mean that was the end of him. He meant, Father, that he did everything that you sent him to do. And Father, the only thing that's required now for us to receive salvation through him is that we would accept him and accept that price that he paid. Father, it is he who keeps us. And we thank you for what he did. Now, Father, we lift to you those who are sick and bereaved. Father, those who are facing difficult situations in life, whatever they may be. There are many out there, Father, who need a touch from you this morning. And we lift Brother Brian to you, that you would use him, Father, to speak to us. Tell us, Father, exactly what we need to hear from you today. And when we leave this place, may we all say it's been a good day to be in the house of the Lord. We thank you and praise you again for your mercy and your grace. But we know, Father, that your mercy and grace has an end. Father, if it didn't, there would be no need for a place called hell. But we know also that your love never ends, that you love all, even those, Father, who are destined to hell. And Father, it's our prayer today that you would speak to those, especially who are lost, who don't know Jesus. Show them very clearly, Father, that you love them and you want them to be a part of you, to spend eternity with them. Again, we thank you and praise you. In the name of our Savior Jesus, in his name we pray, amen.
Let's stand once more and sing the Lord number 484, Higher Ground.
Let's go. Good morning, everyone. It's good to see all of you today. So thankful that you've made the effort to come out. And again, like I said last Sunday, we've got old new faces. Glad that some of the regulars feel that God is leading them back, and it does your pastor and your deacon's hearts well to see that. And like was said, we are looking ahead to opening up some more of our programs and different things like that. But one or two things that's going to make a difference is participation. The more people that we have that are ready to be a part of it, we'll kindly push the pastor, myself, and the deacons to make decisions on opening it up. So we ask you to pray for that. Also, we do ask you to continue to pray for Miss Henrietta Roach's family. We know that she has graduated. She has moved on to her higher reward, but that still does not make it any easier for the family as they learn to live in a new reality right now. So. This morning you don't have to listen to me, thank the Lord. Today we have Brother Ralph Ramey and his precious wife, Sister Tanya, is going to be with us today. As opposed to you probably know, I don't like being out of the pulpit, if you can tell, and especially on Sunday mornings. But the Lord has brought Brother Ralph close, not as close as he thought it was going to be, but close enough. But I ask you to be praying for him, but I challenge you to do this today. We come here with many thoughts and many issues in our own lives, and we bring them in here. And many times those issues, those thoughts, and those situations can separate us from what God wants to do in our life, specifically on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights, Wednesday nights. So I'm going to challenge you, as Brother Gary plays, why don't you just right now give your heart over to the Lord through the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. Give him what you've got. He'll take it all. Matter of fact, if it's sin, he'll take the sin. If it's a burden, he'll take the burden. But whatever it is, give it to him. And with the scripture, as it says, though we may not understand what it truly means, but we came to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you and I praise you for this day. I thank you for all the goodness and grace and mercy that you bestow on our lives. God, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and my failures today. And Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you are holding on to me. But God, I pray over not only the singing as it's already been anointed, but God, we pray over Brother Ralph and the message that you have for him and that you have given him for us. And Lord, let our ears and our hearts be receptive and let us be willing to act in any way that the Holy Spirit leads us to act through this message today. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. I've known Brother Ralph since I was probably 12 years old, and he does know where a lot of the skeletons are buried at, but if he wants to come back, he ain't going to tell you none of them, right? All right. God bless you.
I thought we was getting ready to have a duet there but, when he's going to stay up here. But had the pleasure of meeting Brother Ralph and his wife there a few minutes ago, and I knew that... He's going to bless us. He's just like one of us. When I seen he had his cowboy boots on and he was ready to go. So he's right here in the right place. But we look forward to hearing it. Life is like mountain railroad. with an engineer that's brave, we must make run successful from the cradle to the grave. Watch the curves, fields and tunnels, never fall, never quail. Keep your hand upon the throttle and your eye upon the rail. Blessed Savior, thou wilt guide us till we reach that blissful shore where the angels wait to join us in thy praise forevermore. You will roll up great crowd, you will cross bridge of strife. See that Christ is your conductor on this lightning train of life. Always mindful of obstruction, do your duty, never fail. Keep your hand upon the throttle and your eye upon the rail. Blessed Savior, thou wilt guide us till we reach that blissful shore where the angels wait to join us in thy praise forevermore. You will often find obstructions, look for storms and wind and rain. On a field, curve or trestle, they will almost hit your train. Put your trust alone in Jesus, never fall, never fail. Keep your hand upon the throttle and your eye up on the rail. Blessed Savior, thou wilt guide us till we reach that blissful shore where the angels wait to join us in thy praise forevermore.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Are we excited to be in the house of the Lord this morning?
Amen.
Well, good. You might not be when you get through. We're flatland folks, so just
let's go ahead and get this out of the thing. First off, if I get down here, I apologize if I get up because I cannot hardly stay behind a pulpit. I've done this a long time, and I can't hardly do it. Brother, I do have some stories if anybody would like to know anything about your pastor. We go back a long time. Some things that he probably didn't want you to know, amen? His dad was my spiritual father. February 26th of 1992, I was in a revival meeting. Now, you got to know about me. I was told one time, Reverend, you don't need to give that testimony, but that's only got one. So what else am I going to say? The Lord does great things. I'm an alcoholic and a drug addict. And God got a hold of me, and next thing you know, he's calling me into the gospel ministry. And boy, I said, God, you talking to the wrong guy. Called me, and I went, Brother Randall, Brian's dad, I said, I think I'm called to preach. And he'd say, well, let's pray about it. I was prayingest man I've ever met in my life. I get so mad at him. I told him that a few weeks ago at a meeting. I said, I used to get so mad at you because I want you to tell me, yeah, I know you called to preach. And finally, when I finally surrendered, he said, I knew it all along. I said, what did you tell me? That's what I've been after all this time. And he said, well, I didn't want it to be about me. I wanted it to be about you and God. And it's been almost 24 years of pastoring now, so I've been very blessed. Very blessed. I have, Well, I guess I'm blessed to be married to a South Carolina girl. I'm a Georgian. But at true heart, I'm from the mountains because my dad was from Oxford, Kentucky, over in the coal mines over there. My granddad was killed in a coal mining accident. So I've got mountain heritage, and every time I come up here, I feel at home. We're actually related to Loretta Lynn. Praise the Lord. But she had never sent me any money. I don't know what the deal is here. You like some humor? Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Jeremiah chapter 18. We're going to look at four verses in Jeremiah this morning. It was a young couple. They were kind of dating, and they were getting ready to be married. They were discussing marriage, and they agreed with each other, said, you know, we're going to share everything that we have. That's good, we can do that. And she said, well, there's only one thing. This young man, now he had just started preaching. And she said, there's a little box that I have that I would like to keep to myself. And he thought, well, that's not sharing everything, but I can go along with that, I guess. Well, several years went by, and he was at home by himself one afternoon. He tore the house apart, and way back in a drawer. Well, as the afternoon went along, he got convicted, and when his wife then got home, he said, honey, I need to share something with you. And she said, well, what is it? He said, I got to confess. She thought, oh, my Lord. He said, you know that little box you kept to yourself? I said, yeah. Well, I couldn't stand it. I had to find that box, and I opened it up, and I found it because it would just bother me. And she said, well, that's okay. He said, well, tell me something. I understand about the money. He said, well, I agreed when we were getting married that every time you preached about it. What about the money? He said, well, every time you got a dozen eggs, I sold them. Wait a minute. Something's wrong with this picture, isn't it? Well, the moral of this story is maybe you won't have to go home and put an egg in the box this afternoon. Amen. Amen. To God be the glory. Amen. Amen. We're going to really look at three characters in our story this morning. We're going to look at a wheel. The wheel, you know, is an instrument that the potter kind of accomplishes his work. And you understand that the wheel can be circumstances, it can be problems, it can be troubles. You know, Jesus says, in this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. We're going to have problems. Anybody here ever had any problems? Amen. Well, the wheel is something God uses sometime to draw us closer to Him and to work in our lives. The second thing we're going to look at is we're going to look at the potter. The potter has a great interest in the clay, and he shapes it with great skill and concern. Then we have the clay. The clay is practically worthless and useless in its native state. A skilled potter can take a worthless lump of clay and he can make a useful vessel. A lump of clay can be transformed for something that's worthless into something that has a great value. Now I think about my call in the ministry. I felt kind of worthy. I was one of those that would take a zero to keep from standing before the class in school. I was one of those guys. And when God called me, I couldn't talk to people. So it started on the nursery list and all that, and it started singing in the church. And next thing I know, Brother Randall asked me to stand on the front porch of the church and greet, talk to people face to face. But God started to put me in a place. He started working and shaping in my life to get me to where I would get to the point that I could surrender to the call to preach the gospel message. Wow. Isn't it amazing? See, God does great things. So this morning we're going to look at the potter's house. And I want to look at Jeremiah chapter 18. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. I'm not going to make a stand up this morning. But verses 1 through 4 in Jeremiah chapter 18. Are you there?
Yeah.
Now, if you're late, it's your fault for not turning fast enough, right? We've got two more places to go. So, It says, the word came, which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. May the Lord add the blessing to the reading of his word. Father, we thank you for your message and song. We thank you for such a beautiful place. We thank you for a place where we can come and worship you. Pray, dear God, you speak to our hearts this morning. First in myself, I pray, God, that you'll empty me of myself and fill me of you so that I might deliver your word as you would have it spoken, and we'll be careful to praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You know, in a sculptor's world, if a sculptor, he sees a rock, when you look out up the windows out there, you see the sides of the cliffs and the mountains and stuff. What do you see embedded in that? You see anything? I don't see anything. I'm not a sculptor. We've been very blessed, I guess you would say, to have stood in proximity, my wife and I. We got a chance to go over there. And in a museum in Florence, Italy, is the work of Michelangelo. Anybody here ever heard of Michelangelo in school? You heard of him, hey? Well, have you ever heard of the statue David? We stood and just looked upon the work of Michelangelo in that museum that day. And as I stood there and looked in the intentness of David's face with the slingshot thrown over his shoulder as he was just depicting, gazing at his enemy, which was, you know who that was, Goliath. And as you look at it, you realize, wow, because it was about probably 15 feet tall, probably 14, 15 feet tall. It was a huge, right? You just think, the stone, the rock that was necessary. And when Michelangelo looked at it, he started with a big lump. And as he took everything away from it that didn't look like David, all the scrap was on the ground around him. Every bit of it. You can take a person that's skilled, could take a limb, and they might see a walking cane, they might see a whistle, they can see all kinds of things. And you can pretty much bet when they get through with a good sharp knife, there's a lot of pieces left laying around them. See, there's always scrap left. But one thing unique about God, he didn't have any waste. You know, he'll take things out of your life, but then he'll use those things as a testimony for others.
Lord.
There are people that nobody else in the world can reach but you.
That's right.
And they see you from your life. That there's a saying that I've used for years, preach often, and when necessary, use words. See, it's not your words that change people's lives. It's your actions. God will take all of those things that he's removed from your life, and he'll use them as a testimony so that you can witness and help others in life. Because remember, in this world ye shall have tribulation. I promise you, the cares of the world that we experience today, they're not uncommon to man. There are other people that are going through the same thing. And God can use those things. Amen. So the potter has no waste. Now, back in verse 1, it says that the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord sakes, he spoke to him. God ever speak to you?
Amen.
Do you listen? Do you I hope you don't mind if I do this. I got to have me a little bit of water. I'm a diabetic. Anybody here diabetic? It's not good. Don't get to be that way, that guy. You will like him. The biggest donuts I've ever seen in my life yesterday was that big around. She got a picture with her hand. And I was taking shots last night. God speaks to our heart. He spoke to Jeremiah. What did he say? In the second verse, I see two things. You turn me up where I can
Yeah, I can get farther away from the thing.
I see your plan. All right. Verse 2, it says, arise and go down to the potter's house. There's two things that were required of Jeremiah. That was get up and go.
Amen.
Get up and go. Now, this morning, we had to get up and go. Because when Brian and I talked, I saw about an hour and a half to get from where we were staying at to where we are, where I stand right now. It was 2 hours and 35 minutes through the mountains. We got up early this morning to get dressed. My wife is prettier now than she's sweet, but she's mean to me. In the morning, she's not a morning lady. And so sometimes you got to get up and you got to go.
Amen.
Amen. Just get up and go. And then it goes on and it says, listen to what it says. It says, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. See, God responds, and what he's responding, he's telling Jeremiah, look, get up. He doesn't just tell him to go. He gives him a specific place.
That's right.
And he says, if you'll go down to that place, I'll cause you to hear my words. He'll speak to you. Years and years ago, there was a church, and I was supposed to be the pastor of that church. I never pastored, but I knew I was supposed to be the pastor there because God had already spoken to me. And in my job, it would take me by there every time you turn around. I was by that little church. And there was a cemetery behind it, and I prayed on that hill. Boy, you could really touch heaven on that hill. And one night in my dream, I stood before that sign, and the sign, my name was on it. And the sign flashed a couple of times, and my name was gone. I never passed to that church. Warren Dinkins ran into me one day on a dirt road over there, and he stopped me. And he said, I want to apologize. I said, what are you apologizing for? He said, well, we should have called you, but we decided to remodel the sanctuary before we called the pastor. I said, well, you don't need to apologize to me. If you miss God, you need to apologize to God.
Amen.
God took me in another direction. God takes care of his own.
That's right.
Yeah. Amen. If you put yourself in that right place, God will speak to you and he'll guide you. Anybody here need guidance? Every one of us, don't we? I bet we'll face something. If we don't face it tomorrow, we'll face it next week, next month, next year. We'll face something. We need some guidance on it. Listen to God. Let him speak to you, but you first have to be the one that engages. You have to listen. You have to be willing.
Amen?
Amen. You have to be willing. Now, the next thing, if you look in verse 3, we're just setting the stage right now. Look at what happened with Jeremiah. He said, then I went down to the potter's house. He responded. What did he do? He did what God instructed him to do. And he saw the work that was being done. Now, today, I want to take just a few minutes, and I want to look at the potter, which is God, and I want to look at the clay, which is us. And I want to see a few things about both. Three things that are required of the clay, okay? You and I are just old lumps of clay. God's working in our life, right?
Amen.
Well, I'm good at it just about to get standing. Three things that I understand when God looks at me, you know, praise God, who does not see the alcoholism and the drug addiction?
Amen.
He looks at me and he sees the blood.
That's right.
February 26, 1992, in a revival meeting on a Thursday night, a man by the name of Dr. Herb Reveson preaching in a little church called the Old Temple Baptist Church. That man had fingers that long. And I was sitting right over there, and he was in that pulpit. He never got close to me because of that hand. I had to keep moving my hand because he was talking to me that night. And I give my heart to Christ in that pew. When I got to that back door, I told Brother Randall what had happened, and he got more excited than I already was. He drove me off into an office, and he took me
Bible, and he showed me what had happened. Amen. And boy, it started a journey. So when God looks at me, he doesn't see the addictions. He sees the cleansing.
Amen.
When he looks at me, he sees the blood of his son. And that's what God wants to look at when he looks at us. Do you know Jesus?
Amen.
Amen. See, when Jeremiah listened and did what God asked him to do, he saw the work that was taking place around him.
Awesome.
The first thing we have to see about the clay is the clay must be submissive to the potter. You got to be submissive. You ever fought God? If you're alive, you fought God. If you're saying you have, but doesn't the Bible say you're a liar and a truth thing? So don't say you have it. Because we all have it. We get self-righteous sometimes. We get to forget where we come from and who we are. We're the clay. And God's working in our lives. But we have to be submissive to allow him to work. Amen? There's a lot of folks that I've seen in my ministry that have fought God. I watched a man run from God. I always heard that. But I literally watched a man run from God one morning. Wasn't real successful. He didn't make it until about 2 years to the back wall. And he just didn't go very far. God got hold of it. Amen? So you have to be submissive to the potter. God wants to work in every life in here. He has a task and a purpose for every one of us. Doesn't matter who you are, no matter how young, no matter how old. It's a task. Clay must be submissive to the potter. Second, the clay must be subject to the purpose of the potter. Now, let me give you something here. Let me give you an illustration of a guy by the name of Paul. In Acts chapter 16, verses 9 and 10, it says this. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, he says this word. He says, immediately. He didn't call a meeting. He didn't discuss it. He says, after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Now, was Paul subject to the purpose of the potter? Absolutely. We stood in Rome, Italy, and we looked at the prison where Paul was in prison, thinking about he was giving his life for the cause of Christ. Paul's a unique character. He's one that loved the Lord as much after conversion as he despised him before. He's rare. You don't meet many of them. I hope to sit there and spend a few thousand years with him. But we can be that same person. All Paul did when God spoke to his heart. What did he do? He responded. Listen. I've been called hard of listening. You hard of listening? Not hard of hearing. Oh, I said I'm hard of hearing. Sometimes I am hard of hearing all the time. But sometimes I'm hard of listening a lot. You ever been hard of listening?
Yes, sir.
We just don't listen. The clay has to be subject to the purpose. You have a purpose. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Do you want to receive that purpose?
Amen.
You got to listen. See, we think sometimes we live defeated lives. We don't mean to live defeated lives.
That's right.
My mercy, we just come through Easter. Boy, I like preaching Easter.
Amen.
A lot of people like Christmas. I like Christmas too. But without Easter, Christmas is worthless. There was another gentleman And we got Paul's side. But correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't there a gentleman by the name of Jonah?
Yes, sir.
Jonah was, he was one of those hard-listed guys. See, God called him to go to Nineveh, preach it. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, Nineveh, it was just, it was kind of like those areas like you and I, the wrong side of the tracks. He didn't want to go there. And it's okay. What am I going to say? Or, hey, very boy, called me out of the gun. Then out of the gun. God brought it right back to his memory, did he? We know what happened to John. We know the what happened to be the, not the best storm to go through. And when he finally touched dry ground, he got on the other side of that storm. He finally came to his senses and agreed to listen to God. Where'd he go? He went to Nineveh, didn't he? But you know, if you read the story, even after God did all the work there, he still complained. Sometimes we don't always receive what God wants to do with and through us without complaining. So we have a side that we have someone listening, and then we have a side where someone doesn't. There's somebody in here that fits both sides of that right now. Mm-hmm. The third thing, the clay must be subject to the pressure of the potter. The pressure. In Job chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, it says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before God, before the Lord, excuse me, and Satan came along also among them," can't read, "and the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? There was none like, there is none like him in the earth, a perfect man, an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil." God turned Satan loose on Job with stipulation. Years and years ago, I knew eating air conditioning. Don't need as much air up here. I probably starve somewhere up here as opposed to home. That's my feast time. It was like 91 degrees up there. We've not seen 91 up here. But I went into this house, and as I walked in, there was a Bible laid on the couch. And Isaiah chapter 6, I saw it, and I walked through the door. And I went, and I stood, and I was working on the thermostat, doing something there. And I told the guy, I said, "Good book you're reading right there." He looked at me, and he said, "I'm a demonologist, and you're a preacher." We hadn't discussed it. I don't look like a preacher. I mean, come on, really? Do I look like a preacher? I take this off and I wear shorts and all just like everybody else. I don't look like a preacher. I don't have the hairdo and all that to preach against. I don't comb my hair. I just, it is what it is. I don't know if I've ever had a comb in my hair in years. And God spoke to my heart. He said, "You better get out of here." I listened.
Yes, sir.
First time in a long time, I listened. And I walked. I had to walk right by him to get out. The door was on the back side of him. And when I finally got past him, I said, "I'll pray for you." I went to my truck, and I was just shaking, thinking, "Oh, my word." And God spoke to my heart. He said, "Boy, don't you understand? He identified you. How did he identify you? He saw the blood. He couldn't touch me. I still didn't go back in. Because God didn't tell me to. Amen?
Amen.
pressure on us. And sometimes God allows that pressure. A lot of people, we get into, we actually are pastor of a little place called Community Baptist Church.
The big city of Blackshear, Georgia. And I was saying that you've not missed anything. And everybody always talks about witness. They can't witness. They don't have witness. I'm scared of witness. Well, we're just starting our witness tonight back on the 5th of May. And guess what we're going to talk about for about 2 weeks? We're going to talk about witness. That's right. We're going to teach us how to witness, because sometimes we let the pressures of the world affect us more than we let the pressures of God.
That's good.
Amen.
So, do you know anybody in your area that needs Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior?
I bet everybody in this place knows somebody
that needs Jesus. If we would follow the pattern that Jeremiah has set here, just three little things, we would be great examples to them even without speaking a word. Because people look at us through our storms and they see what God does for us or how we handle our storms. Sometimes it'll draw people to the cross.
Amen.
Amen. Now, we know what clay has. What choices does the potter, what does he have? He has three choices here. When you look on down at verse 4, it says, "In the vessel that he made of clay." Well, let's pick up in verse 3 in Jeremiah 18 again. Let's pick up. It says, "Behold," this is Jeremiah, "behold, he wrought a work on the wheels." Then it says, "And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter." Now stop for just a minute. Does anybody
in here have any imperfections in your life?
Yes, sir.
You're right.
Of course.
Do I need to go down there? Let's discuss it.
He can break it down and remake it. There's nothing God can't fix. You reckon there's been anybody that's laid on a hospital bed and looked up because they had nowhere to go? God finally got their attention. And he finally made them realize they've just been what they thought was broken.
put my wife in the spot. So if it's wrong, it's her fault, okay? It said something about, it was talking about second marriage. It was talking about what you think. It looked like the worst thing that ever happened turned out to be the best thing that ever happened in a sense. Sometimes in life, and I'm not just talking about that, but sometimes in life, we have situations that we go through and we think that it's the worst possible thing. It's just terrible. We just can't make it through this. And all the potter is trying to do is remake and reshape us. It makes us a better vessel. Glory. Amen.
Thank you.
You ever been remade? Do you want to get broken down and remade? Or maybe you need to listen. I mean, because sometimes if we just listen, maybe we wouldn't have to go through some of this. Now, there's a third thing that Potter can do. He can take you off the wheel and put you on the shelf.
Right.
You ever heard of, you might not have heard of it, but y'all guys, y'all farm.
To him over and over again. And he kept telling me, I cannot be forgiven by this God. He said, I've done things that he won't forgive me for. And I said, yeah, I know what you've done. You look at me funny. I said, you're a hitman. You were a hitman.
Look at me. Let me borrow rifles that were not meant to be years. This has been years of wildness. And he would always, when he'd come back to Philadelphia, that's where he always went to.
When he took that rifle back, he would always open a briefcase and it would be leveled with money. And he did it multiple times in my presence. I said, you were a hitman. He dropped his head. I said, I want to tell you something. God can still forgive you.
That's right.
He never. I
stood in his hospital room that afternoon and watched him slip off into eternity. All the very foolish. He went without Jesus. I have no doubt in my heart, no matter. He died a fearful death. This man on this plane, Dr. Kathy looked at him and asked him that question. He said, "I know who you are." He said, "I wouldn't confess something in my life that happened to me." One day, God just took me off the field. He said, "Dr. Kathy, do you have any idea what it feels like to be called God not open a door?" I could imagine. I don't care about the truth. I'm just doing what God called me to do. Amen. I love doing what God called me to do. Everybody here is their calling. Everybody in here is on the same line. We go through things every day. How do we respond to those things? See, if God is going to be the God that we want Him to be in our lives, everybody in here wants a good relationship with God. Amen. What do you do? You wouldn't be here on Sunday. There's places to be. So, in this little simple thought about the potter's wheel, the potter, and the clay, first, where do you stand in the way of the wheel? I mean, where about in life are you? Where are you at? What do you want to see? What do you want to achieve? What about the potter? You want to listen to him? You want to be obedient? You want him to work in your life? It's a choice we make. We make that choice. He's not going to force himself on anybody in this room. Nobody. Not a soul in this church will do that. But he'll honor your desire. So you as the clay, got any imperfections in your life?
Maybe, just maybe. Scared to death of gaining weight.
That'd be bad to know if you ever had a bus about there, man. It's not going to be a problem. It's a dollar down a bit. Got a bar in your life? I think you about a year or two. Has he been dealing with your stuff in your life that needs to be removed before he breaks you down and remakes you? You get a good idea.
Maybe he has been after you for some time to get something out of your life. You know he's after you. You know when the Holy Spirit speaks to you.
Yes, sir. That's true.
And you just keep ignoring it. Be careful. Well, one day he might say, "Okay." See, let's deal with that. Father, we love you. I pray, God, you've spoken to our heart. Lord, you know what we stand in need of in this place today. I can't begin to imagine what needs to be done and accomplished. Lord, we have no right to this invitation. It was bought on Calvary. Lord, we surrender it to you. It's commended to you now. Have your will and way. Do the work you would have done. And we'll be careful to praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Brother Ralph, if you would, stand down here. Sister Nancy, back again, if you would, come.
If you remember in the prayer this morning that I prayed, you remember it was, "Lord, let us hear what you want us to hear and be willing to act on what you have us to do." I want to tell you how the Lord spoke with me, especially through all this COVID. I've got really good at worrying about what others should be hearing and where they should be at, what they should be doing, according to me. But all I can affect and worry about is what I'm hearing,
where I'm at, what I'm hearing, and what I'm doing. Today, will you be willing to say, Lord, I want to hear you, and I want to be moved by you. Maybe you're a member of Thomas Village, and you feel distant. Today's the day. This altar, remember, as I said last Sunday morning, it wasn't just built for steps to get to the pulpit. It was built for us to fall down on. Number two is this. Maybe you're not a member of Thomas Village, and God's been telling you for a little while now that it's time for you to get a part of this local body and to work in that place. Sometimes we ask the wrong questions. We'll ask, Lord, what can this church do for me and my family, when we should be asking, Lord, is there a place for me that you have in this church and in that family? And the most important is this. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the day's the day. Yes, Brother Ralph, he knows some things about me. But God knows everything about me. And he loves me. So right now, the altar's open. Brother Ralph will pray with you. I'll pray with you. The deacons will pray with you. But won't you be willing to act on whatever the Holy Spirit is leading you to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we worried more about others being where they need to be? Or are we worried more about being where we need to be, hearing what we need to hear, and acting on what the potter is instructing? Let's stand as the altar's open. Jesus Christ himself said this in Matthew 21, verse 44, and whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. There's no way that we're going to get out of this life without being broken by God. Either we do it in submission to Christ Jesus, or in eternity we'll be broken by the wrath of Christ Jesus and the judgment of Jesus. So today, are you willing to fall on the rock? Or are you taking chances that the rock might not crush you? One way or the other, like the thief on the cross, there was one or the other. The same is true for our life today. Thank you, Brother Ralph. I appreciate you being here with us today and your precious wife. I'm going to ask if y'all would to stand at the back door and let people love on you a little bit. But I do want us today to have prayer time. We've got some that we've added. I'll go through them tonight on Facebook. But Lord willing, we're going to be opening Sunday night services up before long. But we want to pray for Brother Keith and their family. It was either Thursday or Friday, but next Friday I'm going to be having surgery on my ankle to take out some of the metal. So just be in prayer for us on that. Any other prayer needs that we need to be mindful of this morning before we close? Yes, Sister Lisa. Anyone else? Yes, some of the videos that was on there. Also, Sister Jeanette, from what I've been told, we need to remember her this morning. Anyone else? All right, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, it's been good to be in your house today. And God, I'm thankful that you even hear my cry when I'm just making statements in passing that I needed to be preached to, Heavenly Father, Lord. And I'm thankful for the message you've gave today. And I know, Heavenly Father, Lord, that it was your word. And so I pray that you bless the speaker. But God, I'm also thankful that you have blessed the hearer. And God, as we leave here today, let us not be one that looks in a mirror and just walks away. But let us, having been in your word, let us be changed by your word. And it's in Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you.